When I began the interview process, I guess, I sent my resume here, and I got an email back, and the email was this little packet. And in this packet, I'm reading all about the church, the history of the church, the statement of faith. That's really important. Make sure I line up with that. And then there's this other thing, the constitution of the church, realizing how the church is run, what the bylaws are, and all that fun stuff. And then there's this last thing that I really focused on is the church covenant. So there's a statement of faith, what we believe, a church constitution, how we function, and a church covenant, how we interact with one another. And so I'm reading all this, and the packet was really, really well done, and that was one of the things that kept drawing me back to the church. And I gotta say, ever since I sent my resume in to Faith Community Church back in, late July, early August, it had to be right around there, I've been praying for this church ever since then. And I continue, obviously, to be praying for this church. But I remember I was, you know, researching the community, researching. I did this fun thing where I Googled Faith Community Church and saw what popped up. And then I went to the local newspaper and I searched the archives and did Faith Community Church and saw all the times it popped up in the newspaper back to the 80s. And that was really fun to read the history there. I really was searching because I wanted to know who this church was, what reputation this church had. I wanted to know Faith Community Church as best as possible. And so I was looking, I was searching, I'm reading, and I'm, you know, it's in Wisconsin, so I'm thinking, hey, I'm never going to have to sweat again. You know, we're not in heaven yet, so there's things that we long for, I guess. But I kept coming back to this covenant, this church covenant, this how we are going to act, how we are going to interact, what we will do, how we will treat one another. And I'm going to say that when it comes to a church, those three things are really important: the statement of faith, what we believe. And the last two, the covenant and the constitution, how we will act. Those are so important because those are things that, you know, we don't typically think about. They're not things that are on the forefront of our mind when we show up on a Sunday morning, but they really will inform how we do church. They really, really will inform how we are a community. And so those three things, they're super, super important. And what we're going to focus on for the next couple of months is our church covenant. We're going to focus on how we belong to one another. Because if we are members of a church, now, you may be sitting here and you're saying, well, I'm not a member. I never signed on the dotted line. I never, you know, got the robe and had the ceremony. We don't do that, by the way. Just kidding. It's just a joke. You may be thinking, well, is church membership, is that something that's even biblical? Or is that just something that we do in the 21st century? It is biblical. We'll go there. We'll talk there. It shows up many times. But if you call Faith Community Church your home, okay, that's where we're starting at. We're not going to say if you're on the membership rolls yet or if you're not. We're just going to say if you call this community of believers your family, your home, then this applies to you. Because not only is it just some words that are written in a church covenant, in a document that some people came up with 40-some years ago, not only is that, but I believe that everything written there is biblically based, and as we explore from God's word, that's our authority, not a document that man created, not just simply something that we all came up with. As we look at God's word, it will inform us how we ought to be treating one another, how we ought to be living in community, and why that really does matter. Because guess what? It really, really does matter. So you and I, if we call Faith Community Church our home, we belong to one another. And the neat thing about the church is that we have a local church and we have a universal church. The universal church, that is every believer that we'll see in heaven. Those are the believers that are living on different continents or maybe different states or down the road. These are believers that have put their trust in Jesus Christ, but they just simply are not local in community with us, but they are part of the universal church. And that's a special thing, isn't it? We've talked about that before when we talked about missions, when we talked about the worldwide connection that we have with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's special. But God, in his providence and in his wisdom, has set up the local church. He set up the local church because you and I, we are created to be in community with one another. When God created Adam, he said, it's not good that man would live alone. We crave community. We need community. And so as faith community church, let's make sure that we're doing community well. And so as I said, we got the statement of faith that tells us what we believe. We got the covenant, and that tells us what we're going to do. And it's kind of funny that we're taking a break from Ephesians in order to explore this, because the first three chapters of Ephesians, it tells us what we ought to believe. That's doctrine. That's what God has done. And chapters 4, 5, 6, it tells us what we ought to do. So I think that that's a neat little mirror there as well. But so in order to look at a covenant, it's a promise, okay? It is a promise of who we will be. We promise our covenant to one another. Is there the next, can we get that up there? I'm sorry. Okay, first one. I will protect the community. I'm sorry. I will protect the unity of my church. We've been talking about that word a lot lately. It's come up time and time again in Ephesians. That's important. Why? It's because it's not just a buzzword. It's not just a political word that's thrown out. Say, yeah, I'm for unity. Well, everybody's for unity as long as it's what you want, right? Unify to me and we'll all be good, right? We'll see, because we're going to explore over these next few weeks what true unity is. And we're going to understand that unity isn't just simply getting my way or me giving in and getting your way. Unity is something much deeper, much more incredible than that. And the only unity that we can ever have is unity in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So we promise to each other that we will protect the unity of our church. What's the next one? I promise that I will share in the responsibility of my church. In a family, there are rights and responsibilities. In a family, there are certain things that you get. It's a benefit. If you're a part of this family, it's a benefit. You ever watch like a mob or a mafia movie or something like that? It's all about the family, you know? And if you're part of the family, then you get protection, right? Hopefully we're not talking about that kind of protection. But as much as you get the benefits, there's a responsibility as well, isn't there? If you are part of the family, then you have a role. If you are a part of the family, then you matter. What you do, it really does matter, because you are a link in the chain. And if you're weak, then that's going to make the rest of the chain weak as well. And so your responsibility is to hold on tightly to those next to you. Your responsibility is to grow in Christ. Your responsibility as a member of a church, as a member of the family, is to grow as close to Jesus as you can, because the closer that you are to Jesus, the more in-depth your relationship with Jesus, that's going to impact those people around you as well. Did you know that? I've said it last week, but we have an individual faith, and we also have a corporate faith as well. Another promise that we have is, I will serve the ministry of my church. I'm sorry to say it, but if you came to Faith Community Church expecting to just kind of pay your dues and show up and then leave, you're at the wrong place. This is not a country club. You can't just simply pay your dues and get what you want. As members of a church, we are called to serve one another. We even talked about that last week, about how I submit to you and you submit to me. Serving one another is so good, not just because it benefits the whole, but because it benefits you as well. If you just simply think that you can come and attend a church and not participate in it, you know what you're doing? You're depriving this community of all the gifts, all the talents, all the incredible things that God has given to you. You're depriving the community of that, but you know what else? You're also depriving yourself. You're depriving yourself of the blessing of serving. You're depriving yourself of the blessing of being who God has created you to be in this family. So that's the third part of our covenant. What's the last one? I will support the ministry of my church. Now, when you hear that word support, you're like, oh yeah, he's coming for my wallet, right? Man, let me tell you that God can do so much more with two pennies that are given out of a joyful, grateful spirit than $2,000 that are given out of reluctance or compulsion. Our God is so much bigger and so much better than money. It's part of the reason why I think I'm so thankful that the pandemic has kind of forced us away from passing the plate. You know, I think that up here we're kind of, what pandemic, right? I like that. But you realize we still don't pass the plate. Why? Because giving is an act of worship, and you need to give. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that you need to give out of whatever God leads you to give. That's why the box is at the door. But it's between you and the Lord. And I want to say that if you think that I can give a lot of money and therefore that gives me a lot of influence and power in the church, the more money I give, the bigger my check, the more I can get what I want, again, I'm going to say you're at the wrong place. But if you also think that, oh man, I don't really give that much. I can't give that much. What can God do with this small little gift? I would refer you to a couple of parables that Jesus gave himself of the little widow who gave everything and God blessed it and multiplied it. Our God is a big, big, big God. And money is nothing to him. So no, when we hear this word support, we're not coming after your wallet. We're actually looking at you as the individual and saying, as a believer, where does your treasure lie? Where your treasure is, there also is your heart. And there's so many ways that you can support your local church, not just with your wallet, but with your time and with your efforts. I'm going to say the most important way that we support our local church is with our prayers. I need to be praying for you. You need to be praying for me. We need to be praying for each other. So over the next couple of months, really, we're going to be looking at this framework and these four promises to each other. And we'll break them down. We'll understand that they're not just simply fun little sentences that we say. We're going to look at this church covenant from a biblical perspective. We're going to be in the Word every single week. We're going to be diving deep every single week to understand who we need to be and why we need to be that for one another. But in order to do that, we got to do introductions. So you're like, oh man, that was all introduction. Well, there's one more part of introduction that we need to do, and that's understanding that we are a body. We've talked about that many times, and hopefully you're not just checking out mentally because you're like, oh, I know all this, but open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to understand how we fit perfectly together. God has this incredible plan. He is a master planner. And because he has an incredible plan for the local church, he understands that we need one another. And so I'm going to stop talking. We're just going to start reading the word because I think God says it way better than I ever could. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged in the body each one of them as he chose. I love that. As it is, God arranged every part of the body as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpleasant parts are treated with greater modesty, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no divisions in the body. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. It's incredible as we read this that we really understand this word picture that Paul is presenting. He's writing again to the Corinthians, and I talked during our time in communion that the Corinthians had many troubles, many problems. If you ever think that we need to go back to the New Testament church where they had everything together, you haven't read the New Testament, because they didn't have everything together. They had all the same problems and quarrels and disagreements and divisions. Like, we're reading, and it's in multiple letters that Paul points out and says, hey, those two people in the church, and he names them. Tell them to get their act together. How would you like that? You're just sitting around, we got a letter from Paul, this is great, let's sit around, let's read it. And it's being read publicly, and you're just like, yeah, nodding along. Oh, and Josh, tell him to shape up. What? Right? No, the early church, they didn't have it together. And you know why they didn't have it all together? Because they were people, just like you and I. We're people, and we don't have it all together. But as we are people, as we are imperfect people, we remember that God is perfect. And his plan is perfect. So his perfect plan is to put imperfect people together, smush them together, calm the body of Christ, and allow them to impact this world for him. It's pretty neat, isn't it? As we recognize God's perfect plan for the church, God's perfect plan is that you and I, imperfect people, would work together to accomplish something that we could never even dream of on our own. And that is to carry this good news gospel message to the world. But we need to recognize, as Paul is saying here in chapter 12, that we are individual members. That means that you matter. Your role matters. Who you are matters. Your thoughts and your opinions, even your preferences, they matter. Who you are as an individual, that truly matters. We have no problem with that here in the West, do we? America, right? I'm an individual. Me and my rights. We have no problem grasping that concept, do we? But the thing that I think we struggle with the most is that concept of community. We're individual members of one body. And that reflection of really, truly our God, three in one, the triune God, I think really is a neat thing that we can grasp as the church. We are individual people, and we have individual gifts, and we have individual talents, And what I can do, you can't do. And what you can do, I can't do. Man, let me tell you how refreshing it was coming into the church and being a part of this community and growing and learning people. And let me tell you how neat it was. I had some friends visiting, and they were here on a Sunday, and we left, and they said, so you don't have to be the last person at the church to lock it up? And I thought about it, and I said, oh, I guess not. I mean, I hope the church is locked up, you know? But I guess not, you know? I didn't think about that. Why? Because there are strong, awesome believers surrounding me. You know what makes a good church? Not an awesome pastor, but awesome people. You know what makes a church that people want to flock to? Not a great personality. Maybe that'll be exciting for a little bit, but eventually people realize that personalities are just like preferences, and they may want to run from that. You know what causes somebody to stay at a church? You know what causes somebody to really say, this is my home? It's not the guy on the stage, it's the people in the chairs. There's a dear brother who I met in my interview process here, and we were talking, and I asked him how long he'd been at the church, and we were discussing different things, and he said, yeah, not too long ago I became a member, and I started thinking about it, and I said, wait, let me get the timeline correct here. Are you telling me that you became a member of this church when there was no senior pastor? And he said, yeah. I said, that's cool. That's special. That shows just the commitment. That shows an understanding of the body. It reminds us that no one individual member is above anybody else. And guess what? I am an individual member. And God's given me a role, and my role is to be a shepherd, and my role as shepherd is to protect and lead and guide and care. And I take that role very, very, very seriously. But I want you to know that I'm one of you, and that you're one of me. And as individual members in God's perfect plan, he has put us together as one body. And as one body, we do need to take our covenant seriously. We do need to take our promise to one another so seriously. We need to care for one another. We need to pray for one another. You're thinking, oh, how can I love the people in my church better? You know how you can love them better? You can start praying for them. You don't know who to pray for? Just let me tell you, learning names is difficult. And maybe you're like, I don't know anybody. I can't remember any names. Just say, Lord, there's a guy last Sunday who was wearing a yellow shirt. I don't know his name, but guess what? God knows his name. And you can pray for him, or you can pray for her. And as you pray for one another, you know what? This fascinating things happen. I don't think that you can pray for somebody and not develop a love for them. So as we pray for one another, we love one another. As we recognize that, yeah, I'm an individual, but I'm a part of something bigger. I'm a part of something better. God has placed me in this community for a reason. And that all points to Jesus. Verse 27, once again. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. You are the body of Christ. In John, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's praying for you and I by extension. And he prays that they would be unified. He prays that we would be unified. Why? So that the watching world will see our unity. The watching world would see our love. The watching world would see our care. The watching world would see our promise and our covenant to one another. And they would just say, hey, what a neat group of people over there. That's neat. Good for them. No. So they would see us and they praise the Lord. They would see us and they would turn to Jesus. They would see us and they would know that we belong to him. That's what Waupaca County needs. Waupaca County needs to look at us and say, wow, that church belongs to Jesus. That church loves Jesus. That church loves one another. And because they love Jesus, I'm drawn, not to them, but I'm drawn to Jesus. That's our goal. That's who we need to be. I hope you are excited for this journey over the next few weeks and months of us looking at who we need to be together in Christ, because I'm very excited for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have. Lord, we are so thankful for your perfect plan for the local church. Lord, we're thankful that we are individual members of one body. I pray, Lord, that each of us would understand our rights and our responsibilities. I pray that each of us would understand what it truly means to belong to a family, belong to a church. Lord, help us to develop a greater love for one another. Help us to develop a greater love for you. Father, as we grow in our faith, will we encourage others to grow in their faith as well? Lord, give us a better mindset. Give us a fresh perspective. Help us, Lord, to see your word, your people, and you better than we've ever seen before. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.